Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, Dom Giordano's show. Presently, we'll go to the Deputy Communications Director at the White House. All the things they're doing that are changing up what had become so predictable, so in the tank, so boring, and all the things you would associate with it. By the way, the President is meeting with the UK Prime Minister today, and I wonder if they're going to get into what Tulsi Gabbard's getting into, this agreement. The Biden administration somehow or another coming to light. She was not told about it. They were not brought up to speed of a UK secret Apple data demand to be able to look at encrypted data of Americans around the world from the UK. Wow. All right. So, UK arguably historically, our biggest ally meeting with the president today. Boy, there's been a lot of foreign dignitaries coming through. But the news conferences are much different. The new media part of it, and now even the rotation, not this White House correspondence group being engaged in that, is a big deal. And I told you yesterday, it's not just the progressive or liberal viewpoint of that group that was determining who has those precious seats and gets to ask questions. It was also the president really got into a big lane that won the election, YouTube, the pro-tech people and all that. Why not get his message out through that vehicle again? Why be limited to just jousting over the same old stuff with ABC, NBC, CNN? Joining us is Kaylin Dorr. She is Kaylin Dorr. Kaylin Dorr is the deputy assistant to POTUS and the deputy communications director. Kaylin joins us on Talk Radio 1210. Kaylin, welcome to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, my friend. I appreciate you. You guys doing all right? You hanging in there?
Yeah, we're doing well. So you guys are certainly doing well. So take us through how this is going. We know the bigger plot here with the correspondence group, Kaylin, and how is it actually working? Is that in progress yet with putting different rotations in?
Yes, sir. So we're actually picking and choosing everyone who's going out there to cover the White House. It's not going to be all that different, though. And I think that's what's important. It's very important to remind everybody that The American people are in control of the media. They are the media now. I think the president's been very vocal about that for a very long time. And so for too long now, these left-leaning or propagandist outlets who disagree with the president's agenda have been using their voice as a pulpit to interfere or to, express opinion, right? Whereas they're meant to, or they exist to report facts. And we're out there, I think that is the theme, right? This president won on the backs of the American people, but also with the help of the influencer class, with the podcast class, with the people who don't belong to a traditional media outlet. That is the true value of doing this. Is, you know, this gives us some freedom to bring in some new voices, some people who actually represent the American people's best interests and who are going to cover things fairly. I think everyone can agree that it's time for a shakeup, and that a group of Washington, D.C. bureaucrat journalists aren't the ones who should be, you know, deciding who or what gets access to the Oval Office, for example.
Yeah, well, exactly. And I think it's refreshing because, as I understand it, it's not just they have a left-leaning. It's stale, it's dull, and the people you're bringing in reach different people that might not care about these news conferences or whatever, except by this perspective, it draws them into it, so the president's message is reaching more people.
Right, 1,000%. And not only reaching new people, but people who are, you know, maybe not politically engaged,
yes,
as well,
right?
So, like, folks, like many people in my family who don't tune into the news, but shoot, they'll listen to their, you know, a sports podcast here or there, or an entertainment podcast here or there. And I think that's what's truly important. And that's why the president won in November with this mandate that is just so sweeping and impressive that it's made my job, you know, very easy, right? We're just checking things off a list, Dom. I'm not like, you know, everyone's like, why is he doing this? Or what was the thinking behind this? And it's a very simple answer. We said we would do it. We were elected to do exactly what we said to do. We, unlike our predecessors, are actually going to do that and fulfill that promise. And you're seeing us do that across the board. And so I think the American people, they appreciate, they understand this powerful pragmatism and the unapologetic, irreverent way that we're going about doing our business. And I mean, the president's poll numbers have never been higher.
Yeah, access to the cabinet meeting, unprecedented yesterday. Talk about that. I mean, the argument in the past was, well, that's the president and his advisors that ought to be totally secretive. You just mentioned it was irreverent. It was different. And there were a lot of big ideas being thrown back and forth, and we saw how that works out.
No, exactly. And that's how it should be. And, you know, like I come from a free speech background myself, so I like to view it through this lens, right? You and I used to be able to have a conversation and disagree about something, and, you know, we can leave that conversation with a better idea, right? Nowadays, like, these conversations, because of, you know, the media that we've, that has chosen to abuse their power, because of them, we now have a conversation. If we disagree, you're a racist, you know, I'm a Nazi. And like, that's how you leave the conversation. No one's getting better because of that. Our country is sick because of it. And that's kind of ultimately the problem that we're trying to solve for.
Along that path, we're seeing hopefully the release today or at some point the Epstein file. Can you take listeners through the mechanism of the Kennedy files and the MFLK? There's a process, right, of who does what through the attorney general. And then I think a few months from now, those might be released.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you I've seen a little bit of the files that will be released at some point today. I'd stress I don't think I've seen a client list.
Okay.
I think it's merely a contact list. But I think there will be some news that will be made around it tangentially that you guys are going to be very interested in. But I think, look, if you look at it wholly, that it is unconscionable that it has taken this amount of effort to get any of these things released. I think that is just truly despicable. It's an affront to justice in our country. And President Trump, again, this is the most transparent administration in our nation's history. And I fully believe, you know, Attorney General Pam Bondi is a superstar. She's not going to rest until we get everything, anything and everything released to provide that kind of transparency. We deserve to know exactly everything that, will or should be revealed at the end of the day. And I just cannot stress that enough. That this is all about transparency. That's the name of the game. For 4 years, they told you Joe Biden wasn't sick. You know, he was right. All with it. He was sharp as a tack, right? I think this is a complete and total 180 in all fronts.
All right. Now, you're not going anywhere. I don't care what they're telling you at the White House. We need you for 10 more minutes after what you just said about something tangential. So you've actually seen some of this stuff. Is it a top clearance security you need to see it?
No, I think you can expect to see everything very, very soon.
Okay.
That's all I can say, Dom. I'm sorry.
Oh, I understand. I'm not going to press you on that. So take us through the process. You mentioned this a little bit. What I find President Trump to be good at, and he has people around him like you, it's not only following through on the promise, but then reminding, and that's important because the media won't, promise made, promise kept. I know that with him, the few times I've spoken with him, once in the Oval Office, that's a big deal. That's a very effective mechanism to let people see each week. You guys put out a lot of releases that I get. Here's what happened this week and how it's... No, that's fine because you have to document. The media is not going to do your job. We know that. Talk radio will, because we see it, we see the promise, and we see that it was kept.
Right. And actually, you know, I'd like to point, because digital is a part of my portfolio here, I'd like to point out that we do this thing weekly with Caroline called the MAGA Minute,
yes.
Where we have
yes.
60 seconds to try to fit everything yeah. in under a minute. And I'm telling you, man, sometimes writing for that is very difficult. Look, I think people love the president, and this has always been the case, because he is pragmatic, and he's shown everybody that this is not hard, right? They want you to believe, they meaning, you know, opponents of the president's agenda, and that it fits way more many people than it should. They want you to think that it requires a Herculean effort to do the basic, most simple tasks that put the American people's interests first, right? They win when you feel alone, Dom. Like, when you feel like you're the only one who eats, sleeps, prays, you know, speaks the way you do. Like, that's when they win, and that's what they're right. gunning for. And the president is the antithesis of that. He speaks the language that everyone speaks, one of common sense, one of not grounded in insecurity. You know, this is something that drives me nuts. I look at these people who are so worried about Doge cuts, and I must think, man, in their lives, they must be just terrified constantly. They're going to lose their jobs because they are not, you know, pulling their weight, right? That's deep rooted in some kind of insecurity that is crippling. It does not belong in our federal government. You know what I mean? And so, like, these are all the things that he's fighting against in a way that makes sense to everybody. And none of it is complicated. None of it is hard. And that is the beauty of all of this.
Exactly.
It's not hard to go it's not hard to just go do what you said you were going to do. It's not a big thing.
In Washington,
it is.
Yeah. What's your background? Because my producer's texting me. When do we get this guy back? This was great stuff. What's your background? Where are you from?
I challenge you to find someone who's worked with the president as long as I have. I was there in 2015.
Okay.
I served in the previous administration. I was a chief marketing officer in 2020 for his reelection campaign. And then I was blessed with the honor of a lifetime to come back and serve him here at the White House for round two. So it's been a ride, man. I did some stints at Treasury. We did some COVID relief here or there, you know. But I tell you that I have never seen anything quite like this. You know, you talk to some people who work in Washington, D.C.,
yeah.
Dom, and they face a crisis of consciousness every day they go into work. I don't agree with what my boss is doing or whatever.
Yeah.
The president, it's hard not to agree and love him and just appreciate what we're doing here, because, you know, we've got four more years here to go out and really make some tangible quality of life improvements for everybody.
Absolutely. Well, please come back. We really enjoyed it. And I'm waiting. I'm thinking of the tangential part that you mentioned. I'm ready and going to credit you with that.
No, don't credit me. Don't credit me. You didn't hear, I thought this was between friends. When does it
air? That's all. Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Come back soon. Thanks for joining us.
Will do. Be good, guys.
Deputy Assistant to POTUS here. What a background. Dan texted me. Yeah, this guy's irreverent but nerdy. What a combination. Yeah. All right. That's refreshing. Different kind of guy. Not the usual spokesperson type of stuff we get. Hear what he said. All right, something tangential that'll be major to this. Henry, any thoughts on that? You're in the decoding room back there as we wait the Epstein file. I think it meant within an hour we're going to have it. He's seen it.
Yeah, he's totally seen it. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
What he was alluding to, though, yeah, I'm all ears. I don't really know.
Okay.
Tangentially related
I can't,
to.
Yeah, what's tangential to this? All right. We'll see the flight list. Stuff of that nature. I know people wanting this sooner rather than later. We're on it. All right, 855-839-1210. Hit us on the side question too, which is simply, give us that all-time movie scene, and you may lapse into doing a little bit of it yourself. 855-839-1210.
Okay. Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching. Phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, it is Dom time, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board right now. All right, you heard from the White House, some of their plans, what they're up to. And we were talking about the stuff they put out. I just saw this, as much as I follow it, I missed this one yesterday. They put out an executive order stopping police and fire departments, or really the cities where they are, from stopping police and fire departments from standard aptitude tests, physical exams, and credit checks. In other words, we've been through this many times. We did a remote broadcast from Andy's Diner once, Huff, Puff, and Cuff, because the state police for women lowered the standards, the physical standards, unbelievably. And they said how draconian. We had like 50 women show up that were able to do the requirements almost in double time. So the Trump people, by executive order, banned cities now from saying, with police and fire, who ought to be the best and the brightest to protect us, right? You cannot be stopping them and any entity out there that's trying to sue them from using aptitude test, physical test. I remember the SEPTA one, and we had a guy who was pretty heavy set eating a pizza, and he was able to do it. It was something like running a mile and a half or kind of jogging in 18 minutes. And they said this was draconian. Nobody could do it. Oh, my God. You know, come on.
Like, I hate running as much as the next guy, but 18 minutes for a mile?
Well, like, a mile and a half.
Still,
a mile and a half. Yeah, like, still. I mean, it's doable. If you want to be a cop and you want to, except they had harder requirements than the Philadelphia police. And the one I mentioned, I wish I had him in front of him for women. They were just ridiculously low. So this Trump order says your police, fire department, they can set physical standards, aptitude tests, and credit background checks. Some places try to say that's racist or sexist or something else. So much stuff is happening. We didn't even talk about that one. All right. 855-839-1210. You can get on board. What's wrong with what they're doing, how they're disseminating the news? And the point the two of us were making was, it's not so much just these groups are left-wing that are constantly yammering against someone like Trump. It's also they're not reaching people. People are not watching the evening news with David Muir. They're not watching. They consume it in different ways now. So it's all the presentation of a podcast, of a YouTuber, of talk radio, of any number of these other mechanisms. That's the thing that is going to get people involved with the message. In other words, the messenger is taking what they have from the White House and they're presenting it in a manner that's going to encourage more people to consume it. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, they're being accused of shutting down free speech, shutting down the First Amendment, because these nerdy groups don't have the same lion's share of coverage. That's not true. All right, let's go to Bill in Bucks here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Bill, good afternoon.
Good afternoon there, Dom. Good to hear you again, and I wanted to give you my answer to the side question.
Yeah, go right ahead.
My movie features my second favorite California governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, first one obviously being Ronald Reagan, in the movie Terminator 2. After the high-speed chase, they meet up, and the cop, whatever, I forget his name, Arnold's, you know, they face to face. Arnold says, hasta la vista, baby, and bang.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thank you, Bill. Yeah, that's several memorable lines, scenes from that. That's a good one. We'll mark it down for that. By the way, with all this cutting, with all the Doge cutting and et cetera, here's Jesse Waters last night making a point, this is cut 15, that we've made several times. Some of these federal workers the other day, they were saying, well, they're going to work for China, meaning they're going to betray the country if they don't work for you. They have knowledge, they're going to sell it. Listen to Waters saying, if you start cutting the CIA, what some of the CIA types are saying.
But Intel doesn't like being told what to do. When they saw Musk with the chainsaw dozing foreign aid, they started leaking to CNN. If you doge us, there will be consequences. On the CIA's seventh floor, home to top leadership, some officers are also quietly discussing how mass firings and the buyouts already offered to staff risk creating a group of disgruntled former employees who might be motivated to take what they know to a foreign intelligence service. The CIA is telling CNN that if their funding gets cut, they're going to sell state secrets to Russia. Who the hell hired these Benedict Arnolds? The CIA is supposed to be filled with patriots, not sellouts.
Yeah,
the FBI is up to no good, too. Michael Schellenberger is reporting a source inside the FBI says the Bureau is destroying evidence. Now we know what their accomplishments were last week. Dear Elon, I wiped the servers cleaner than crooked.
All right, so we're talking about here the threats coming now from these federal workers. Here's another federal employee. This is cut 14, comparing that email. Now, I was not a fan of the five things you're doing last week. All right. You know, and some of the department heads are not. They said, no, you don't have to do that in your department. But really, is it as excessive as this federal worker? Listen to the comparison that she makes about this.
And again, like, it's just a flex. It's just you need to know who's in charge. And this is one of the ways we're making you aware. And the feeling that I felt responding to that email was such a glimpse into a possible future here, a probable future here, if we don't fucking do something about it. It felt so scary and so heartbreaking. It felt much like I would imagine living in a place like what I always imagined North Korea to be like, would be like, where the energy is, yes, master, your wish is my command.
All right, so it's North Korea now with these federal workers. I mean, the access, look, you can make your case. Was this really needed? Department heads like Tag Seth and these others said, no, we're not going to comply with it. Okay, you can do that. But going that this is North Korea now, this is why there's absolutely no sympathy and why we're going down this path as we see these people clear out that this is ridiculous. They're making ridiculous arguments. We didn't see CNN, MSNBC when the pipeline workers, how many was it, 10,000 were cut off, stroke of a pen by Biden? There were not horror stories of that, difficulties with that. Why the federal workers, and particularly the overkill of this? I'm not saying I approve of every single action. Some of them are missing the point. They're sloppy. But the five questions is the same as North Korea. Ridiculous stuff. If you remember, there was quite a stir, and it was right around the time of the first debate, maybe a couple weeks before, with Kamala Harris and President Trump, the first debate, the only debate between the two of them. I was in the spin room, and I remember Trump in the debate with David Muir going off about Springfield. And I remember it was Springfield, Ohio. Charleroi is the one that we know about here in Pennsylvania. And these people were accused of the same thing. They're all racist, small town racist. They came on and told the tale of people from Haiti not being able to read the stop signs and all. They were inundated. Suddenly, out of nowhere, they had hundreds of people, if not more, in this small town coming from Haiti. Well, the other day, we had a guy plead guilty who was the architect of bringing him here, knowing they were illegal, doing it for profit, and there were tax consequences to all this. So we're going back to Charleroi. We're going to talk with the city council person. I think it's a mayor. Two of the dignitaries there who came on and they were killed nationally. Not as much as Springfield because of the pets thing. But the very same thing. These people are making it up. And who is it that does this? People like Martha Raddatz, who lives in a $2 million house across the river in Virginia. Those people telling people who are inundated with all the nonsense coming out of Washington that they're racist, they're making it up. The classic thing she did with J.D. Vance, only a handful of Venezuelan gang members are running housing complexes in Aurora, Colorado. Only a handful. And they can't get it, why they lost this election, why there was a mandate here, why every swing state, why Trump even won the popular vote. It's because of them. It's because of that. That's exactly what's happened. All right, so we'll talk with them next, but we want to get more of your calls. Hit us with that all-time scene, the shocking death of Gene Hackman, those scenes in Hoosiers, the chase scene, and if you have not seen No Way Out, he plays a corrupt Secretary of Defense, and young Kevin Costner, it's brilliant. The ending, the twist at the end is so beautifully done. But if you're a fan of the Pentagon, I think it was filmed in the Pentagon. It sure looks like it. It shows you how labyrinth it is and all the stuff that goes on. He played the Secretary of Defense. Just a craftsman, a giant, two Academy Award winning, and a shocking death, maybe carbon monoxide. We don't know. We're watching on the Epstein watch again. We'll see what happens. But get in now at 855-839-1210. All right, Dom Giordano's show. Remember Charleroi, Pennsylvania. Remember that? We had the city councilman. He's back with us here. And I believe the mayor, I think we had both of them on. This was at the height of Springfield, Ohio, Aurora, Colorado, and then Charleroi was the third. These were people here from Haiti. And it's amazing, the lawsuit that dropped this week, the court decision, with a guy pleading guilty. So it's not they found him guilty. He pled guilty to various charges about bringing them to that town, exploiting this whole situation. These people were right. I remember, I think it was the councilman telling us that Councilman Larry Szilassi telling us that you know, you had like 30 kids in the classroom, 20 of them didn't speak English that had arrived there. How do you deal with situations like that? All right, so he joins us along with the mayor, Greg Dorfler, joins us here on Talk Radio 1210. Mayor and Councilman, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us, Dom.
Well,
hi, sir, how are you doing?
Yeah, very well. Larry, I want to start with you. I think you're the first guy we contacted. So how do you feel when this decision came down this week? The guy that was the architect of this pled guilty to various charges. There were tax reasons, the whole thing here. How do you feel about that?
I'm extremely nauseated and just totally fed up with, once again, our borough of Charleroi receiving a black eye. We no sooner get a chance to maybe have some sort of healing, and we get punched in the mouth with another negative. This one being pretty serious, and the headlines, you know, from the Justice Department on their press release stating that, you know, owner of Charleroi Staffing Agency pleads guilty to harboring illegal aliens for financial gain and failing to pay more than $3 million in employment taxes. Well, my personal opinion, it was a heck of a lot more than $3 million. I'm sure during the plea deal, they came up with that $3 million figure. But it's embarrassing for our community to have to continually be put in the national, worldwide spotlight. And would certainly like to have something go positive for us for a change. But given the nature of this is obviously not over yet. Other individuals they have not named, specifically two that was in the dockets before it led up to this, you know, is going to bring more attention on Charleroi, being that that business was housed here.
Mayor, I see it a little bit differently, though. I see this as a reckoning that this guy pleaded guilty, was caught, and what Larry just said, some of the others. It says that you guys were right. You were not racist or making it up or doing whatever. You were a small town inundated by this. How do you feel?
Yeah, I mean, this here, you know, like Larry said, here we go again. But, I mean, this, to me, I mean, I'm glad that they did, you know, this guy did come forward and pled guilty to, you know, the wrongdoing. And maybe this will possibly put an end all, you know, to this big mess. And, you know, if they're illegal, they got to go back. You know, if you're here with legal status and you're working and you're taking care of business, that's one thing. But if you're here illegally and doing the things that they're saying was being done, well, that's not good at all.
No. So how has it been, Mayor, again, to that point? How is the town coping with this? I talked with Larry, I remember the first time, about the schools, how difficult that was. You don't have all the resources in the world. How are you coping with it?
Well, now, I mean, from what I understand, the school did receive some funding.
Okay.
Did help with, translators and stuff like that. I still don't think it's good, in a good status right now. I think it might be a little bit better just because we got a little bit of funding to help.
So, Larry, going forward, how is it? We talked the last time, too, about some of the bigger businesses in town that had left. Larry, how is it now with businesses?
Well, are you speaking of the immigrant businesses?
Well, I'm talking about, just a general, is this a black eye for the town? Is it hard to draw business there?
Yes, it does. It does make things a little difficult because we're constantly reading on social media that people are afraid to come into Charleroi, whether it be because of the automobile accidents, the influx of immigrants, and you know, you touched on something, Dom, when you were speaking to the mayor in your question to him. One thing that, really makes me happy with all this is you've had so many individuals from the Democrat end of it constantly pursuing the narrative. Everyone here, all the immigrants are, they're legal. Everyone is legal.
Right.
Well, this surely brought it to the surface.
Yeah, I'm glad you underlined that. That's the constant thing. Even if they all were legal, to inundate a town in the manner that this guy did, and you and I both said then that's probably not true that they're all legal at all, and it's been proven out in court. Where do you go to get your good name back? Where do you go, these people that were just killing you in Springfield, Ohio, and Aurora, Colorado, that were all making this up? I can't even imagine in a town like this being overwhelmed like that.
Where do we go to get our good name back?
Exactly.
It's going to take a heck of a lot of hard work. We really it's been an ongoing line of communication, but we really took a good hefty step just 2 days ago, where we met with the Senator Dave McCormick's team, his staff,
right,
higher level staff members, and going the right direction of saying, hey, you know, now it's time. President Trump started putting us in his narrative back in Arizona when he mentioned Charleroi and along his campaign trail. Then, once again, when things kind of died down a little bit, here we go. The ball comes bouncing back to Charleroi when he signed an executive order on deportation. And so, you know, with that said, you know, we have begged now Senator McCormick to reach out to the Trump administration and ask them, please, it's long overdue. You come to Charleroi. We can sit and have a good professional roundtable discussion, and hopefully we can get some financial help that will be ignored with through the federal, state, and governments when they decided to dump 2,000 to now 3,000 immigrants into our town. And so I think we're taking the necessary steps. We're the little guy here, and it's time for the big guys with the big sticks to come in.
Well, we will pass that on. We talk with them frequently. Larry, I'm so glad it worked out this way, though, and I hope we're moving forward. And, Mayor, you too. What's the population of the town currently, Mayor?
Well, it was like 4,000-something before the immigrants.
Okay.
Yeah, it was 4,174. And then that was the last U.S. census back in 2023, okay. I think now, which is safe to say. Whether it's 2,000 or 3,000, it's thousands more within our small community that's not even a mile long.
I hear you guys. Thank you very much. We'll keep you in the loop. Thanks, guys, very much.
Thanks, Don.
Thanks for having us on, guys.
You're welcome, Greg and Larry. Thank you. All right, so I asked that at the end. A town of, 4,174, suddenly 2,500, 3,000 people dropped in.
Not even a
mile long, yeah. And the Martha Raddatz of the world, that woman, right? Well, J.D. Vance handed it to her. Do you just hear yourself? You could tell deep down she's sweating there. But in the end, she says at the end, just a handful. This is why Trump won. This is why he's going to continue to win. These are 80-20 issues. Nobody's going to stand on the other side. That town should not have been inundated by that number of people. And we now have the guy pleading guilty this week. And you heard what they said. He may have knocked it down. He pleaded guilty. He wasn't just found guilty of all this nonsense that went into it. How can a town handle something like that? They can't. This is what's going on in America, and the Trump administration, day by day, pushing back on this. This was a high point during the campaign, if you remember. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Just hit us, that all-time movie scene. Coming up, Elon Musk takes to X, to Twitter, to ask retired air traffic controllers to return to work. There's a shortage. He's being killed for that. Why? I mean, we want more air traffic controllers. The Trump administration is not firing air traffic controllers. All right. This is the media narrative. They're firing people and you're going to die because of it. They've been sloppy in a few cases. They got to tighten up. But they're not firing air traffic controllers. I'll give you a little bit more on that, too, coming up. Here's how you get in, though. 855-839-1210. That's how you get in. Hey, it's time to celebrate American Heart Month with Rescue Natural Supplements. For nearly 40 years, Rescue's omega-3s have been providing people with the essentials to fortify heart health, reduce inflammation, and support healthy cholesterol levels. That's why it's the best time to dive into Rescue's February special. Right now, Rescue's most popular products, their premium omega-3 fish oils, are buy one, get one free exclusively for Dom listeners. All you have to do is use the listener code OMEGA50 when placing your order. Call them at 800-26-LIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a knowledgeable product consultant or use that code OMEGA50 online when you visit res-q.com, res-q.com. Don't forget the code OMEGA50 when buying one bottle of Rescue Omega-3s to receive a second bottle completely free. Again, use that code OMEGA50. Fortify your heart and support a healthier well-being with a Rescue Omega-3. Okay, Dom Giordano Show. So let me clarify the side question today, open it up a little bit. I played Hoosiers, Gene Hackman, sadly, he and his wife dead, and the dog. Under circumstances, we don't know what happened yet. Hoosiers, that's one of my favorite scenes. We're not looking just for Gene Hackman films. I think some people are calling Henry and got that impression. Sorry about that. Any film. So I have the top 100 by movie critics in front of me. What is an all-time great scene? Because Hackman was involved in at least two or three of them that make any list. So you give us the movie, give us the scene. If you want to throw yourself into it a little bit, that's always fun. Any film that you think the scene is worthy. It's the scene that we're looking for today around the passing of Gene Hackman. Not his film. He only has like four or five that most people would know. So any film by anybody. All right. Is that broad enough? Hit us with that. I mentioned Elon Musk, and here goes the criticism. Now, I said I thought it was sloppy. I thought it was tinier. I would not have been cutting people at the FAA. I wouldn't have been doing that in the light of some of these things. We want to reassure people. There have been several misses in the last couple of days. You saw the one on the runway. I think it was in Chicago. Even though these are not frontline air traffic controllers, all right? It's not about that. He's now asking for retired air traffic controllers to come back to work. They could always use them. Let something like the FAA, you know, make the cuts minimal there. We want to make sure they're fully staffed, that we calm things down with people. All right? And he's being attacked now. Well, you're the one that caused this. No, they did. They didn't say this. They were sloppy with it, though. Or let's not make one size fits all. There's a need here to fortify in the mind of the public air traffic control / FAA. Let's not have go easy on that. And still, I'm waiting. I don't know about you. I want to get to the real meat of this. I want to see the military budget. And I think this is a way to push back against Democrats and say, look, we're recognizing this wherever it is. Pete Hegseth has all been on board. I want to see the Fed. I want to see the budgeting, the stuff that goes into that. I think the American people need to see that. So there are still big areas out there of concern, but stuff like the FAA, all right, this is life and death. Even though the Washington thing had other matters there, we know that. But they do need people that are air traffic controllers to come back, all right? And again, a lot of this was, I don't know why Musk didn't link it with COVID. I believe it was linked with COVID. They lost a lot of people that wouldn't get the jab, that type of thing, like any number of government agencies that are understaffed. Put it out there. So you got to win hearts and minds. I mean, we're in agreement with what they have found and where this is headed. Elon Musk needs a little bit better PR here, or a voice there. Everybody needs that. Somebody tells you, all right, how about doing it this way? As far as winning the hearts and minds on this stuff. And the FAA is a place you wouldn't be cutting now. Yeah, but we got some people. I get that. I get it. The point is, though, to reassure on this whole thing. And I'm glad that he's asking for retired air traffic controllers to come back. This is something that is legit. Make that point. Legit, we're all on board with. They're going to offer incentives. These others, that's what the problem is. Separate it. And I don't know that they're doing that effectively. Look, we know what you're up against with the media. That's why you have to be even better at getting your message out there. All right, so we're looking for that all-time film. Think of some of the really big moments. We'll let you know if there's any more on Hackman. It appears to be potentially carbon monoxide. That's the best guess. No foul play. Yeah, I know people are saying you have two dead and a dog. How could it not be foul play? Because it could be something like carbon monoxide poisoning. We're also waiting on the Epstein list. I have no rational reason. We had a guest on from the White House who had seen some of this, and he mentioned some big tangential thing. And Henry and I are noodling. I texted a couple people. They were listening. They can't think of what that means. Maybe they're teasing it out just for a little bit more drama. Just release this. Today's supposed to be phase one. I don't know why and what other phases. I know they had to redact. There are like 200 young women involved one sort or another. They had to redact a lot on the victims. And that means information that might trigger something. But you know the plot by now. The royal family, Bill Clinton, and then I think DiCaprio's name's been thrown around. If you happen to be on both lists, the Epstein list and the P. Diddy list, it's going to be hard to make an argument. Hey, I just took a flight. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I was hanging out with my friends.
Yeah,
you know?
I mean, I don't know if there's a worse list, a third list that's out there of any sort. But how this guy, I think they have more information. They apparently have more security footage of this. Was this guy a double, triple, quadruple agent? How was he able to stay out of jail for the above reasons? It will be fascinating to see the spin the media puts on this, though. I can't even imagine. It depends on the names that are on there, etc. Also, coming up, you know that I have for years been vigilant, a champion of anti the red light cameras and the speed cameras and the Roosevelt Boulevard. Headline today's Inquirer. Philadelphia citations for speed and red light cameras are at best misleading. Big lawsuit. Federal lawsuit raises concerns about due process and the ability of drivers to dispute tickets. Apparently, you're not allowed. You can't dispute tickets against the speed cameras and the red light cameras. Here we go again. And some of the facts in here, you probably have a sense of it, but I'll give you the factoids. How much is Philadelphia pulled in just by the red light cameras? And all these claims about the Roosevelt Boulevard. Look, we have people driving around without licenses, without insurance. Because you have the Wild West in Philadelphia. They don't even have a tag on their car. Are they not the problem more than somebody that goes through the Bermuda Triangle, the Roosevelt Boulevard, and gets a $100 ticket or whatever it is now? I'll give you more details on that. But get him right now. Hit us with that all-time movie scene, 855-839-1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.